One, two, is this on?
Please, ban the basketball housewives.
Set C Dog Bounty Hunter coming to an end.
Who the fuck? What the fuck? Why?
My comic book nerd brain cannot accept it.
That's the dumbest fucking premise for a show I've ever heard in my life.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Welcome to another assigned episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G, and this recording is taking place on Monday, January 14th, 2013. Gotta remember 13. I always want to say the 2012, but gotta remember it's a new year. And the voice you hear on the line with me right now is tonight's special guest, which who I'll introduce in 1 second. But first, I just want to go ahead and plug our social media accounts and websites and whatnot. You can follow myself on Twitter at TimDOGG98. And, of course, the Click Nation has our Twitter account at TheClickNation. Check out the website, TheClickNation.com. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can find us also on Google Plus. Just search for The Click Nation. And we also now have a Click Nation community group. That's The Click Nation Community, I believe is what it's called. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on the show or just want to tell us how we're doing, you can send email to theclicknation@gmail.com. Now, get down to business. Tonight's episode is going to focus on the Superior Spider-Man number one. We, on the previous comic book chronicles, I had William B. West and Classic Material on, and we just broke down the Amazing Spider-Man 700 and how that ended. So I thought it would be good to follow up with how things turned out in the Superior Spider-Man. And my guest tonight is a fellow comic book reader who I've met through Twitter. It's I guess I'll just call you by your Twitter name, L Boogie 5.
Yeah, no government name. No government name today.
So I want to welcome L Boogie to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I've been trying to get on the show for a minute, actually.
Yeah, I remember when you when you brought it up, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, saying you wanted to be on, I was like, oh, yeah, he did say he wanted to hop on the show. So you might be hearing Boogie's voice some more in the future, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. It's part of my, I guess, New Year's resolutions. I'm trying to do a little more podcasting and blogging and trying to do a bunch of stuff, trying to just expand my horizons.
We'll make sure you make the podcasting rounds.
Definitely.
So just give you a second to let you introduce yourself to the listeners.
Well, like I said, you can find me on Twitter at LBoogie5. I guess I'm most known on Twitter for talking about sports. Primarily, it's about 75% is what I do. Used to work at Adidas, so I had kind of an inside knowledge with Adidas basketball and different products that we had coming out, and it was a good learning experience. Co-host of the I Call Shenanigans podcast, which is one of the funniest podcasts I've ever been associated with. We haven't been on in a long time. We're trying to get us all back together, but schedules are so hectic. It's just like we have so much to talk about. It's just hard to get everybody in one place. I'm gonna start doing some more blogging here soon, so be looking out for that as well.
Do you have a website where they can check out the blogs?
Well, see, I have a Tumblr account and I have a blog through Blogger. I don't want to really release that yet. Okay. I mean, the Tumblr is LBoogie5, and it's usually just has like my Instagram feed, and it's got just like, you know, different articles that I just retweet, and I don't really go into my opinion yet. But once I get more serious and get some more time about it, then definitely.
Yeah, whenever the official website goes up, I'll make sure to tweet it out to folks so they can see it.
Right.
And you use Tumblr about the same way I use it too. I think my Instagram pics go to it, and I whatever comic book pictures from other people that I follow on there, I just reblog those, and that's about the extent of how I use it.
Yeah, and I used to be on Tumblr like a lot more, and kind of be like Facebook. You know how you can just get lost in Tumblr and just clicking links, and it just takes you somewhere else, and you just. It's fun. It's fun, and then it's also just damaging to your time. You look up, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning. You got to work at 7 a.m. You're like, damn.
Yeah, I usually I'll end my nights kind of perusing Tumblr, seeing what's on there. Like I said, it's a big time waster, but I enjoy it still.
Yeah.
All right. So introductions out the way. So I guess first, just to for anyone that maybe didn't hear the previous Comic Book Chronicles or hasn't been keeping up with what's going on with Amazing Spider-Man, just a quick recap. His arch enemy, Dr. Octopus, was able to switch bodies with Spider-Man / Peter Parker. Basically, Dr. Octopus transferred his brain waves into Spider-Man's body and transfer Spider-Man's brainwaves into Dr. Octopus's body, which happens to be near the brink of death because of all the punishment he's taken as a supervillain. His body has started breaking down. So Spider-Man's trapped in this dying body. And issues 698 through 700 of Amazing Spider-Man dealt with the switch, showing how it happened, and the resolution of Peter taking on Dr. Octopus, except they're both in each other's bodies. And Amazing Spider-Man ended, spoiler alert for anyone listening, it ended with Peter Parker apparently dying inside the body of Dr. Octopus. And when he died, when you die, supposedly your life flashes before your eyes. So when Peter was dying in Doc Ock's body, Doc Ock in Spider-Man's body started seeing all the flashbacks to everything that happened in Spider-Man's life, and basically all the tragedies that have befallen him. And I guess it touched Doc Ock so much that he swore that he'd become instead of using this new body for evil, he said he was going to be a better Spider-Man than Peter Parker ever was, and he'd be a quote-unquote superior Spider-Man.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that leads us into, of course, you saw a little bit also in Avenging Spider-Man 15.1, where you saw like the aftermath and the next like 4 days of how Doc Ock was living in Peter's body. But everything really picks up in Superior Spider-Man number one. And let's see, the writer for all this, of course, is Dan Slott, who I honestly hadn't been reading Spider-Man on a regular basis. Up until his sidekick got introduced, Alpha, is when I kind of started reading Spider-Man. I want to say that happened in like Spider-Man 692-ish, So, like, maybe the last 10 issues I started reading of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you a question about Alpha. I just saw that they was going to release Alpha 0.1 this week with the list of titles that they usually do on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what Alpha was. Like, just going back to, you know, being a Spider-Man fan all my life, that was probably one of the first comic books I've ever picked up was an Amazing Spider-Man. And I kind of took into the whole clone saga.
Okay.
And that's probably right when I ended Clone Saga. So they released that it was the Jackal who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the clone was actually the real one and all that whole turmoil of the whole Scarlet Spider and all this mess, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you grew up as a reader or just a fan of Spider-Man in the comics. So apparently, yes, you have. And you say Clone Saga.
That's like probably the one that really sticks out in my mind of me reading and getting every single, every title. So, you know, it was the Spectacular Spider-Man, there was the Amazing Spider-Man, there was just Spider-Man, and they all tied into the same storyline. And I just remember being adamant of getting every single one of those books when it came out.
Okay.
But I know I got some before that and just, you know, just as a kid, you know?
Yeah, that was the big story that you remember.
Yeah.
Now, see, I started a little bit before the Clone Saga, but I took a big break from reading comic books. I want to say, like, right when I hit college, just because I didn't have, I was like, I was still collecting comic books, but it was like I went to the store, picked up my pull list, took them home, but I wasn't really reading them. It was like I was collecting them just to collect them. So I realized, you know, I'm not actually taking the time out to read these books. You know, I'll just go ahead and stop for a little while.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was around the time this Clone Saga started.
So okay.
I know a lot of people, that's, of course, Clone Saga is a big controversial Spider-Man story since they revealed that Spider-Man that we had been following for years was a clone. And then eventually they went back on that, and because of the fan outrage, they had to revert everything back to the way it was. But I'm gonna go ahead and assume you also watched the cartoon.
Definitely watched the cartoons. The one that was on Fox.
Yeah.
I never really watched the Amazing Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, a little, you know, corny one with Iceman and who is that? Firebird or
Firestar?
Firestar, yeah.
Yeah, I remember my dad used to work at Camelot Music, so we used to always get, like, DVD. Back then it was videotapes. And I want to say we had maybe, like, one videotape with sort of Spider-Man and Amazing Friends adventures on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, definitely once the Fox show took off, that just about everyone that grew up as a kid was watching that show.
Yeah, it is that show and X-Men, they kind of like they stuck to the source material. They really didn't deviate. They may have added a couple characters for just fan, like kid instinct, not mm-hmm. instinct, but interest levels. Like making Jubilee for X-Men was just for the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it really like stuck to the source material, and I actually liked how they did Venom a lot better. Before I was watching the show, I always thought Venom was actually an alien, and they got him off the space shuttle, which seems more plausible.
Yeah,
like that storyline better than how it happened. You know, with the secret wars and all that kind of stuff in the comics.
Yeah, and I also liked how the Spider-Man cartoon how they introduced a lot of other characters into it, because I know they had the Fantastic Four guest starred and.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the X-Men, but like Storm and Wolverine, I believe, appeared on the show also. And
yeah.
Then you also had like Punisher and Daredevil showed up, and so it was good to see the other characters in the Marvel Universe show up in the Spider-Man cartoon also.
Definitely.
So let's see. So back to Superior Spider-Man. So now, of course, Superior Spider-Man is taking place in the Marvel Now, and. Just like how DC did the New 52 and they sort of relaunched their whole universe, Marvel Now isn't actually a relaunching of the universe. They're just basically what they did behind the scenes. They sort of shuffled around a creative team, so a bunch of different people took on new books. Except for Spider-Man, the Spider-Man creative team actually stayed the same, or the Amazing Spider-Man team stayed the same and just transferred over to this new title, Superior. And so Superior Spider-Man kicks off, and at least in the beginning of the book, we have the introduction of a new Sinister Six, who Dr. Octopus, of course, is very familiar with, because I want to say he launched the original Sinister Six.
Yeah, I believe it was his idea, or
right.
You know how comics are. They always have different names, and then a real popular team will take over that name, like the Sinister Six. I want to believe that it was more in the 60s, and then they came out with the one that we know with Dr. Octopus, Scorpion, and
Sandman was a member.
Sandman, yeah. We feel those are the original Sinister Six, but I think there wasn't an original before them.
Right. So, I guess without saying what actually happened, besides just Spider-Man taking on the Sinister Six, what were your initial thoughts on? What were your initial thoughts on how Amazing Spider-Man 700 ended?
I don't know, because I love Peter Parker.
A lot of fans were outraged.
Yeah, I can see that. Anytime you mess with Peter Parker, your fans get outraged. And we've seen that, three different times. They still want to mess with Peter Parker.
Yeah, don't bring up the One More Day storyline to readers. Do you know what happened with that?
Remind me. I probably do, but it doesn't jump to my mind.
It's so basically Joe Quesada, who is, I want to say, like the
chief creative officer.
Yeah, for Marvel. He was never a fan of Peter Parker being a married man. So he came up with the storyline of having basically annulling the marriage to Mary Jane. And how they did it was Peter ended up making a deal with the devil, who in the Marvel Universe is Mephisto.
Yeah.
It was Aunt May got shot and she was about to die. So Peter went and made a deal with Mephisto and said, if you spare my aunt's life, I'll give you my marriage. And so Mephisto said, okay, and did some mumbo jumbo where he made it where, I want to say he made it where Peter and Mary Jane were never married. And they did a couple other things, like they revived Harry Osborn during the whole experience too, and they also made it where no one in the Marvel Universe knew who Peter Parker was, because right before then during the Civil War he had went on the news and revealed that he actually was Peter. So they kind of reverted a bunch of stuff back to the way things were originally.
Okay.
And a bunch of the fans went crazy. That Peter making a deal with the devil, that's so unlike him, blah 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 blah. So that's how that whole thing took place. And and actually my mind's gone break. I can't remember how I got in that conversation to begin with now.
We were just talking about how anybody that if you mess with Peter Parker,
oh yeah, yeah. You mess with Peter. Yeah, people go crazy. So Peter Parker of course is dead, and you were saying you didn't know how to feel about it.
Yeah, see, I don't know how to feel about it because I love Peter Parker, but I can tell they want to have Peter Parker still there as like some kind of a conscience mechanism,
mm-hmm.
Which I guess can kind of work. But then it also kind of feels like it kind of feels like when he was wearing like Peter was wearing the black suit, like it was affecting his mind and he was doing things that's unaccustomed for Spider-Man, mm-hmm. killing people. And having those thoughts and going too far, whatever it is, it just kind of feels like that. And then it also kind of feels like Mary Jane should know who the hell Spider, like this shouldn't be him. Like, it's just the way he's talking to Mary Jane. It's like,
yeah. How do they not notice that something's wrong with him or something's
different? He's using these like villainous words that, classic villains use, like,
dope.
Like, yeah. He called him adult. Like, what?
It's like, who? Yeah, what 20-something year old uses that word?
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I could see it working. I just, you know, I like how if Doc Ock is supposed to be smarter than Peter Parker, but always has the villainous luck of never winning,
right?
That he can put his brains to good use and maybe become a quote unquote more superior Spider-Man.
And we also saw a little bit of that in the Superior Spider-Man number one, because,
yeah,
you know, since Doc Ock is a evil genius, he's like developed a new suit, and he even developed a couple of new gadgets that he used to help take down the Sinister Six. So, and of course, Peter started doing more of that in Amazing Spider-Man once he started working at Horizon Labs. Like, he started creating new suits and whatnot. But like something that stuck out with me is like, it seemed like Peter would always create that stuff as a, like, in a reactionary manner. It was like, this happened, yeah, so now I need to create this to overmatch it. And where it seems like Doc Ock is doing it more of a proactive stance, like going ahead and making stuff in the beginning to take over or to help him be a better Spider-Man.
Yeah, definitely. I think that Doc Ock's version of Peter Parker is more proactive and more preemptive,
mm-hmm,
which can be a good and bad thing. I mean, and it kind of plays on the good and evil type of thing. Evil usually is the one that strikes first, so they're more proactive and preemptive on their actions.
Right. All right. So let's see. What next do we want to touch on? So, yeah, that's how Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 700 ended, and now we're in Superior. We saw, like I said, in Superior, we saw Spider-Man take down the Sinister Six. We saw a little bit of his interaction with Peter Parker / Spider-Man's supporting cast. We saw him at Horizon Labs dealing with the Horizon Labs staff, and then we also saw him with Mary Jane.
That was funny. I like that scene.
That, yeah, I was gonna say I like the Superior Spider. I like the scenes with the Horizon Lab staff just because of the outfit that Peter was wearing. He had the classic evil mad scientist uniform going with the goggles and the big like lab trench coat.
Yeah,
he looked like, you know, he should be working on like Frankenstein.
And he had that evil grin, like a little evil smirk when he was, you know, looking into, I don't really want to spoil it too much, but looking into some of the robotics.
Yes.
Let's just say robotics.
And he definitely was looking devilish when he was spending time with Mary Jane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't – I don't know if it was a glitch on how my digital download came out, but mm-hmm. – it looked like she was talking, but he was like thinking over the talking.
Yeah, that's how it was supposed to be.
Okay.
Because, yeah, she was – it's basically showing how he was paying her no attention.
He was just looking at her boobs.
Yeah, looking at her boobs and doing all – and he was thinking to himself, basically being a guy. You know, you're on your date with your woman. She's rattling off about whatever, and you're not paying attention whatsoever.
None.
So I guess you could say Doc Ock is a typical man in that sense. Because
yeah,
I'd probably be the same way if Mary Jane was sitting across a dinner table from me.
I think a side note, though, like Mary Jane, Ariel from Little Mermaid, they kind of sparked my interest in redheads.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really what started it.
Definitely Mary Jane for me back from at least when Todd McFarlane was drawing Amazing Spider-Man back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was definitely a supermodel the way he was displaying her. So with that basically took up the majority of the portion of the Spider-Man book. Except there was there was a surprise twist in Amazing Spider-Man 698 and 700, but they also saved one last twist for Superior Spider-Man.
Yep.
Let's see. First, did you see this coming?
Yes.
I'm mad that I originally guessed that, this surprise twist, but I thought it was going to happen in at the end of Amazing Spider-Man 700, or at least I thought it would be revealed then. And when it wasn't revealed then, I just kind of completely forgot about it until it happened at the end of Superior Spider-Man number one. And of course,
well, I mean, you saw bits and pieces of it in 700.
Yeah. Going back and looking at it, and even Avengers Spider-Man 15.1, we saw it.
Yeah, and that's why it wasn't that much of a surprise, because I actually have been reading the Avenging Spider-Man series, and I don't know why I like it. It's weird. Most people don't really like it that much, but it's been pretty good for me.
I'm gonna start reading it now because I know the writer is on it now is Chris Yost. He's also he's also writing Scarlet Spider, which is pretty good. And I forget the guy who's actually going to take over regular artist duties on it, but I found him on Twitter, and some of the images I've seen look pretty nice. So,
oh sweet,
I'm going to start keeping up with that regularly now, especially now with the new everything new going on with the Spider-Man. But of course, we're going to spoil what the surprise twist is. So, Doc Ock, of course, in Spider-Man's body, is defeating the Sinister Six. And I think it was Boomerang he was beating up on. And he's just using lethal force. And he's pounding on him, saying he's going to kill Boomerang. And he goes, I guess, for one last punch. And his arm stops before he can give the final blow, so to speak. And we see a little blue image of a hand reaching out and grabbing Doc Ock or Spider-Man's arm from giving that final blow. And we see it's Peter Parker's, I guess,
ghost.
Yeah. Ghost, basically. This other podcast I listened to, they called it, like from Star Wars, his like Jedi ghost.
His projection.
Yeah, his projection.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it looked kind of just like from like the Star Wars movies when the Jedi die.
Yeah.
So then we learned. I mean,
yeah, it's.
I was gonna say we learned that Peter is still around, at least in
subconscious.
Yeah, subconscious. That's a good word for it. His subconscious is still alive in his body, and he can sort of take control of Doc Ock whenever he wants to. There, we may find out in future issues that maybe he doesn't have complete control, but basically he can stop Doc Ock from doing completely evil things like killing someone. And he vows, you know, he doesn't know how he's there or how he's still around, but he swears he's going to take back control of his body. And that's how Superior Spider-Man number one ended.
Yeah, so, I kind of think that I think they're going to have to bring back Doc Ock. There's no way you have a legendary supervillain that just dies and it doesn't die as himself. They're going to have to bring him back. They're going to redesign him and do all that kind of stuff. You know, it's just going to happen.
There was speculation going around that Dan Slott, the writer, and, you know, Marvel's creative teams and whatnot, people behind the scenes, that they went and, you know, because of all the fan backlash, that they went and added that in at the last minute, which I don't actually believe. I think this probably was his plan all along, was to, you know, reveal at the end of issue one that, hey, Peter isn't dead. He is still around. Because they probably were thinking, you know, you can't have a Spider-Man book taking place without Peter Parker involved in it somehow, even though he technically is involved because his body is still there, but you know, someone else controlling it. And see, I guess it would have been nice if they saved that for maybe like after a year, like give us a year worth of stories of Dot Octopus living in Spider-Man's body, and then do the reveal of, hey, you know, here's Peter all along. But maybe there's better stories to tell if they showed that both of them are still around.
Yeah, that was kind of quick to reveal that kind of punchline in there. I would have liked it a little better. Maybe they what I'm reading, they're saying they have something really big in store.
Yes, for everybody. Supposedly there's another twist that's gonna, well, not another twist, but there's still more surprises to be shown. So we just have to be patient and see what they have cooked up.
Yeah.
But so yeah, that's how that ended. I was gonna say with the. It's going to be interesting to see if, because originally I thought the end game was going to, I guess it's still possible. The end game is going to be that eventually Peter, you know, takes back control of his body, and somehow they're going to transfer Dr. Octopus's brain into some other body. At least that's what my guess would be. Like maybe, because they've shown that the Jackal is back. So I was thinking some other clone body will pop up, and then eventually they just pass Dr. Octopus maybe into this clone body, and then just like they have Scarlet Spider, like eventually they keep the Superior Spider-Man book going, but they give it over to Otto Octavius in whatever clone body.
Right.
And then eventually they relaunch Amazing Spider-Man #1, and it's Peter back as the lead role.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
That's kind of what my theory is too. Just bringing back some form of Doc Ock, you know, like you said, Jackal's back, clones, and brings back the possibility of clones. And you got to think like an evil genius isn't gonna not like just gonna die. He's gonna have some kind of like contingency plan because they always want to. They're, you know, they're vain. And they always want to be there.
And like I said, they're not just gonna kill off a character like Dr. Octopus who's been around for however. Close to 50 years.
Right.
They may kill him but you know, resurrect them later on, but got, you know, characters usually don't stay dead long.
No. Ever since Superman died and came back, nobody has ever stayed dead.
No one's safe.
No one.
So I kind of curious to see if that's the route they go with the Superior. And then eventually down the line, we have to see if maybe some of his Peter Parker's supporting cast starts to realize. You know, how long does it take before they start to realize something's not right with them?
Yeah, especially his close ones. You know, he has to interact with all the time.
Yeah, like I said, the different speech pattern, just the facial. That's something that I enjoyed in Superior was all the different facial expressions Peter made.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could just tell something. It's different about him, which is funny.
Yeah, like Mary Jane called, and he's just at the lab, and he's like, what the hell do you want? Like, he yelled at her.
Yeah, calling her woman. What do you want, woman?
Yeah, woman.
But I don't know. They say women like that, you know, strong man, the alpha male, putting them in their place.
I guess.
And something else also, I think that eventually we'll get to the point where it is Spider-Man, or it is Peter and Otto both occupying the same body at the same time, and they were sort of like working in tag team together.
Right.
It's like they're sitting there having discussions in their head at the same time, like, you know, how should we handle this situation? Or maybe they're arguing about something with Mary Jane. That'd be kind
of
fun to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like the whole thing with Otto when he saved the cop, and he's like, why the fuck did I do that? Like,
yeah,
I don't know why I did that. Like, that's not like me. I'm trying to get out of here. I was actually trying to leave, and I actually came back and saved this police officer. And you know, he's kind of fighting with himself, type of thing, and fighting with what naturally comes on in Peter's emotions and his body.
Mm-hmm. And eventually, at the beginning, we thought, at least I thought, it was just like the, you know, since he's in Peter's body, he has that Parker. Sense of doing the right thing, you know, with great power comes great responsibility type thing. But then we learned, well, I guess it is still the Peter Parker, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, except the only difference is that Peter is still actually around. So,
yeah, I want them to explain the split toe.
Yeah, that, and I guess they showed the clawed fingers that just sort of pops out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we need an explanation for why he had the, like, the amphibian type toes.
Yeah, that's weird. It's not like it's. My guess is like it helps them have traction better on surfaces, like on, you know, climbing on walls, maybe. Mm-hmm. But you know.
Hey, a quick question: are you familiar with Spider-Man 2099?
Yes, I actually, those are some of the books I was reading. The whole 2099 universe, I just couldn't get into mm-hmm. as much as I wanted to. It looked cool. It just, the storyline sucked.
So, quick background on this. Before Amazing Spider-Man 698 came out, Dan Slott played a prank, I guess you can call it, on Twitter, where he sent a tweet to Ryan Stegman, who was the artist on Superior Spider-Man number 1. And he sent a tweet that was supposed to... It looked like it was supposed to have been a direct message. And mm-hmm. they're basically he's like talking about something that needs to be redrawn or redone in like one of the Superior books. And he used the name Miguel. And of course, Miguel O'Hara is the person who was Spider-Man 2099. So everyone started speculating that this was an accidental tweet that was supposed to be a DM, and Miguel O'Hara was gonna end up to be the person in Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah,
which of course if you go to mtvgeek.com, I'm not sure if that's actually the web address, but their Twitter account is mtvgeek, I believe, and they have some video interviews up with Dan Slott after Superior number 1 came out. And Dan Slott talks about that tweet and basically saying how it was a joke and how all the Spider-Man 2099 fans had got all excited thinking Miguel O'Hara was going to show up, but of course he's not. But then at the end of one of the videos, Dan Slott does say that he promises, and he said this wasn't a joke or a prank, he said that Miguel O'Hara will show up in Superior Spider-Man. So
they'll probably do a. So is 2099, was that just like a future, like an alternate future timeline, or
that's how I took it as just like a possible future.
Me too, because it has a, you know, their Earth designation is like Earth like 3 something something. You know, there's different, and then I kind of thought it was a different universe, kind of like how the Ultimate Universe is,
right?
But I mean, they'll probably do some kind of crossover.
Yeah, I guess like, sort of like they did crossover Spider-Man and Ultimate Spider-Man recently mm-hmm. in the Spider-Men series.
Yeah.
So Miles Morales and Peter Parker met for the first time. So I guess they could do something like that with the Spider-Man 2099. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, the Age of Ultron, I guess it's a spring/summer event, is supposed to take place in March. And it has to do with Ultron taking over the world, and it looks like there's some possible time travel stuff involved with that. So I'm wondering maybe if Miguel O'Hara shows up during that, or as a outcome of that storyline. That'd be kind of maybe something to look for.
Yeah, I mean, all great storylines have some form of time travel in Marvel, it seems like.
Yeah, and actually. This doesn't even have anything to do with Spider-Man, but like when Marvel Now started, it seemed like so many books were kind of dealing with time travel in some aspect. Because mm-hmm. you have like Thor, you see the 3 different timeline versions of Thor, from young to present to the old Thor. Trying to think of some other. The first A+X
yep.
came out, and that both stories dealt with sort of time travel. Trying to think of some more. Guardians of the Galaxy, which isn't out yet, but in some interviews, Brian Michael Bendis, who's the writer, he mentioned how with all the time travel and stuff going on in the Marvel books, that would be felt in Guardians of the Galaxy, because I guess all, you know, time travel messes with time and space, and Guardians of the Galaxy is a space book, so I guess there'll be some repercussions in that. Oh, and the other book was All New X-Men, of course, deals with time travel, because
right.
X-Men from the past coming to the present, or their future. So I was thinking, in my mind, there's too much it's too much of a coincidence that all this time travel was going on. So I was saying, like, the next big crossover Marvel event was going to deal with time travel. And, of course, now they've finally announced Age of Ultron. So I guess that Age of Ultron could technically still deal with time travel, or they might just save that for maybe the following year, maybe in 2014. Maybe they finally deal with the time travel. That's just something for something I've been kind of eyeing and seeing if I'm actually going to be right on that guess or not.
Yep. I think that that's a possibility, because they're definitely trying to push their cosmic books, and especially with Guardians of the Galaxy, they're trying to push that over people's heads so much.
And even like sort of smaller books, like I gave Red Hulk a couple of issues, or Red She-Hulk, I should say, they didn't relaunch it with the new number one, but they slapped the Marvel Now banner on the book, and she's dealing with something, I think, with time travel too, where she saw like a possible future. So
yeah.
And I think Dark Avengers, they might not be doing time travel. They've crossed over into another universe, like a possible future/universe. Mm-hmm. So another book to add to the list.
Dark Avengers, huh?
Yeah, I read the book. I read one issue from it. I wasn't really too crazy about it, but at least it is dealing with some crossing over to see possible future/universes.
Is it a Marvel Now book, or?
Yeah, they actually it is a Marvel Now book. And, okay. They didn't relaunch it with the new number one.
Right.
It's like,
yeah, and they did that with Hawkeye, which was terrible.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I thought Hawkeye was bad at first, but so many people were singing the praises of the book that I said, you know what? It's still kind of early. I think it's only 6 issues, or maybe by the time this comes out, issue 7 will be out. So I said, I'll start back from the beginning and read them again. And I actually like it now.
Well, visually for me, it's bad, but like storyline, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
It looks like a Sunday morning comic strip.
Yeah. I wasn't crazy about the art either, but it has a very like indie kind of look to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now, like I said, I like the whole series altogether. So now I'm actually appreciating the art too. So fans have swayed me. I'm now a fan of the Hawkeye book. So go ahead and give that a read, and you can let us know your thoughts on it, if you love it or hate it.
Yeah, I'm going to add that to my little list I got going on here.
Yeah, the list is long.
It's really long. I'm kind of excited for this Savage Wolverine book.
Yeah, the Savage looks like it might be interesting. The regular Wolverine series, I might read the first couple issues, just see if I enjoy it or not. But yeah, the Savage definitely sounds interesting. We when I had William B. West on the previous episode, he actually dropped some news about characters that's supposed to appear in the Savage Wolverine, because I had tweeted out Amadeus Chow. I was wondering where Amadeus Chow was, because he's like a teen. He originally had been like sort of roaming around with the Hulk many years ago. Mm-hmm. He's like this he's like a teenage guy that's like one of the smartest people in the Marvel Universe. I don't think he has any powers except maybe just a, you know, genius brain and whatnot.
Right.
But I was thinking he'd make a perfect young Avenger. And Will was like, no, he's going to pop up somewhere else. So I was like, tell me where. He said, I'll reveal on the podcast I guest on with you. So he said he is going to show up in Savage Wolverine. So I'll at least read it to see what they decide to do with him.
Oh, cool.
And I guess since we also got you on, we can talk about some other Marvel Now stuff real quick. What Marvel Now titles are you enjoying?
I am really enjoying the Thor book that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really do like seeing this God Butcher and seeing the past where he doesn't even have Mjolnir. He's got an axe still.
Yeah.
And then seeing the present one where he, you know, kind of knows his responsibilities. And then this old one who kind of takes the form of Odin, where he's, you know, basically the new All Father, and he's got so much responsibility upon himself. I'm I'm liking the all new X-Men's. Yeah. I like seeing the kind of old, the older X-Men's come at with the new ones and try to see how they interact. Most of the books that have the mutants in them, I really do like. Yeah. You know, they're actually, I really do like them all. I don't like the fantasy book. What is it called?
Journey into Mystery.
It's kind of hard to read.
Yeah, I actually haven't tried reading it because I didn't think I'd like it to begin with. I wasn't reading it before, so I was like, I won't really read it now. So you said Thor and all the X-Books, basically.
Yeah, all the X-Books. I like the I actually like Iron Man as well.
Oh. I had to ditch Iron Man for the time being.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I wasn't. At least this opening arc, I don't really care for at all. I'm waiting for, I think it's issue 6 when they pick up with him in space with the Guardians of the Galaxy. I'll pick it back up for that and see if I like it some more. Like it then. If not, I'll probably still just give it up finally.
Yeah, see, I like it because I actually just finished reading Extremist to like refresh my memory. So this kind of deals with some of the Extremist stuff.
Right.
I actually like Red She-Hulk too, which is, I never thought I would like a She-Hulk book. One of the books I had back in the day was a She-Hulk book, and I was like, this is terrible. But I like the Reds and the Thunderbolts book. I love the Thunderbolts and the, I just like seeing black and red. I just think it's dope.
Yeah, Thunderbolts is no one I'm kind of giving up on for now.
Yeah.
Like nothing.
There's a lot of build up for all these books though, and that's what I kind of see. So I kind of when I'm reading these books now, after not reading them for about a good 15 years, is I kind of look at it like a movie or look at it like a TV show actually. So you know, there's a bunch of TV shows that you watch, especially dramas. The first like 5 out of the 13 episodes of the season all build up.
Yeah,
like Boardwalk Empire this year, if you're familiar with that show. This season was terrible up until, you know, the last, like, 4 episodes. It was just, like, build up, slow. There's a couple killings. And then they really got into the meat of it, and you're just like, oh, yeah. And you kind of saw why it built up so much. Mm-hmm. So that's why I kind of give these books a chance, and I kind of look at it that kind of perspective.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of they're definitely giving readers and fans a lot to choose from. So you at least get to pick and choose which books you're gonna support and whatnot.
And you know they're gonna have events that you have to read every single book. What else going on?
Yeah, and they're still announcing new books, which is, and then even the books that there's some books they've announced that haven't come out yet, like. Like Secret Avengers hasn't come out, and Young Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Nova still haven't come out. And then they've still given out those teasers. Like today, they announced that the adjectiveless X-Men book will be relaunched in April, I believe, with the all-female X-Men cast, like Storm, and it's supposed to have Storm, Rogue, Jubilee, Psylocke. Kitty Pryde and Rachel Gray in it. So that's another X book to add to the list.
But I was saying that Psylocke is the most underrated female
for the X Men.
I mean, just in general, I always thought she was a little pervert in me.
Oh yeah.
I always thought she was, you know, one of the baddest ones.
Especially back, I don't know if you saw it back when Jim Lee was drawing X-Men, but yeah, he used to draw her all sensual and seductive looking, and even Cyclops was eyeing her a lot.
Yeah, and they never, I was kind of disappointed, like in the cartoon universe, they never really had her on. They had her like bits and pieces, but she didn't say anything, you know, and she's English, so, you know, she's got that accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's English in an Asian body.
Mm-hmm.
So, just do that math. So yeah, that's a little preview of what Marvel Now's got going on. And, of course, our discussion on the Amazing Spider-Man / Superior Spider-Man. So I think that's a good ending point for tonight's show. Unless there's anything, any other sort of comic book topics you want to hit on real quick?
DC just needs to get bought out by Marvel so they can do their stuff right. They're just so bad.
See, I can't. I'm not even going to talk about DC because I've actually started reading some of their books now.
I know, and you sent me some stuff, and I tried reading it. I did enjoy. There was one book I did enjoy, and I think it was the Justice League one. I enjoyed reading that one.
Yeah, yeah. Can't really hate on the Justice League because of the team they got working on it.
Right. I mean, it's funny because like they do their movies a lot better than they do their books.
True.
If that's kind of weird that happens. Like their movies and their TV. Like I really like Green Arrow, television show that they have. And then this new Superman, I'm like really, really geeked to see. Like I can't wait for this one to come out.
Yeah, I've never been a Superman fan, but I'm definitely gonna be there opening night or weekend to see Man of Steel, especially if it's gonna start building to a Justice League movie.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard because Batman's like the whole linchpin of the whole thing.
Yeah.
If you don't have Batman in the movie, you're not gonna make $1 billion like Avengers.
And of course they're gonna have Batman, but it's just a case of who's gonna be playing them.
And how do you bring him in? It's just that's the whole thing.
Yeah, and no solo movies to build up to it.
Right.
Maybe Man of Steel. So yeah, DC, I'm enjoying Justice League books. Or Justice League period. Justice League of America launches, I want to say next month in February, I believe. So I'll check that out. I'm reading Aquaman for this Throne of Atlantis crossover that's going on with Aquaman and Justice League books. And Batman I started reading, and that's definitely good. You got the going back to the owls. I'm trying to think of the name of the Court of Owls storyline going that took place with that, and then now they're doing the death of the family with Joker, so I need to get caught up so I can get up to date with that. And I have plans on going back and reading Green Lantern and Flash, Teen Titans, and I hear so much good stuff about Animal Man and Swamp Thing. I can say I'm going to try to read them, but
yeah. It's like when you don't have enough time, yeah.
Because there's other books I'm going back and trying to read too. So, and I'm trying to read stuff from other companies like Zenoscope and Image Comics, Boom Studios. So I'm trying to spread the wings, but got to just like I said, find time to read all of them.
Yeah, and I've got other readings. Like currently and right now, I'm reading Mitch Albom's new book called The Timekeeper. And it's, you know, it's traditional reading, you know, hardcover.
What's that about?
It's basically short synopsis. It's basically about Father Time and how he came to be. And he kind of came to be from the Tower of Babel from like the Bible stories. And, he's actually on Earth now and he's out to help a couple people. And it's pretty interesting cause it kind of has this like, obviously time travel thing. So it goes to from the past, then it goes to the present. And then it talks about, you know, someone trying to cheat death and someone just kind of starting their life out, but they need more time. And it's pretty interesting so far. It's pretty easy read too.
Okay. Yeah. I know I'm familiar with Mitch Albom just from the sports reporters.
Yep.
But, yeah, I know he did, non-sports books too.
Yeah, I mean, Tuesdays with Morrie is how I started knowing about him. It's a really good book. I think they made a movie out of that. And then he made another book, The 10 People You Meet in Heaven, I think is the title. And it's like one of his other critically acclaimed books. Yeah, so if you have the time, check him out. He's a pretty easy read. He doesn't ramble on. He's got good visionary in his books. And like these chapters are, they're like 2 pages long, but there's, you know, there's like 80 chapters.
Okay.
So
yeah, we do read other things besides comic books.
Yep.
And we like sports and whatnot. So, and yeah, we even mentioned Game of Thrones, I believe. So,
someone did. Oh, I cannot wait. I cannot.
That's one of the shows I don't want to say refuse to get into, but it just doesn't look appealing to me. So maybe eventually I'll get into it. I've got HBO Go, so I can always go back and start from the beginning. But
yeah, you definitely. I'll give you this advice when you're watching it. You definitely need to not have any kind of distractions.
Yeah, because you got to pay attention. See, that's nothing. Like hour long shows, they're such a commitment to watch.
Yeah, exactly. A commitment to watch, and then it's also kind of got like old English in it, so they're from England or from that time period over there, so they kind of speak in that, and it's kind of hard to keep up if you're not paying attention, actively mm-hmm. paying attention. Like I can watch some other shows. Like I watched Revenge today, and I was actually on my computer watching an episode of Revenge.
That's Revenge is an ABC show, right?
Yeah.
Huh, okay. It'll be on the list of the many shows I need to check out.
Definitely, and it's I guess the director is also the director for Thor.
Yeah.
Which is good because that's exactly what a Thor movie needs is that type of direction if you want to stay true to the kind of source material.
Yeah, but say a lot of once people heard that he was directing it, that got a lot of people extra excited for this second Thor movie.
Definitely.
All right, so I guess that will be the ending point for tonight's show. I want to thank L Boogie 5 for joining me tonight to discuss to chop it up with some comic book talk.
Thanks for having me. It was great. I hope I can do this again soon.
So check him out and follow him on Twitter at LBoogie5, and be on the lookout for his blog to be released. Like I said, I'll post that once it goes live because I'm sure I'll see it and I'll make sure to retweet it to people so they can follow that. And also make sure to go, even though there aren't any newer episodes of I Call Shenanigans out now, go listen to some of the older episodes. Because I will say, when I got on Twitter, I found that I Call Shenanigans, they were the first podcast I started listening to from, this Twitter group that everyone's a part of now, that everyone's podcasting and whatnot. So y'all definitely were listening to y'all trip out over whatever the latest shenanigans were going on in the world of entertainment. Definitely was a trip.
Yeah, shout out to Lee Treble for that. He's the one who kind of like started it for us, and he's kind of built himself up off of it, and he's going in the right place, saying where he needs to, where he wants to go with his music career.
Yep.
So
I know, search on iTunes for I Call Shenanigans, and you should be able to find that on there.
Yep.
So, once again, I want to thank everyone for listening to tonight's show. And let's see, there is some reader feedback I need to listen to. Maybe I may toss that on to the end of this episode or just save it for the next. Actually, I'll save that for the next Click Nation podcast when next time we record. I'll read some of the comments left on some of the blog posts on the website. So don't worry, I haven't forgot about you people. I just got to get around to actually reading them. So for L Boogie 5, I'm Tim Dio Double G for the Click Nation and the Comic Book Chronicles. I want to thank y'all for listening, and we're out.
Late.
Peace.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you. Ooh.
crushing. Guess you see it, the bad boys are wrestling. Just in competition when the war does their mission. Not no mercy, see the race on the street. If you don't know, you better find out the war pack. Here to prove a point, number one, just believe that you don't want to tussle with them. I'll be there for the villain, coming to grave with them. You're never walking out again, so you're back on the war pack. Turn your back on the wolf pack. You might wind up in a body bag.